So when we're teaching this course on education in values and spirituality, the one level is it's for us. And then the second level is we convey that to other people. So the most important element, whether it's for us or whether it's for other people, is the stage of yoga. And so one of the modules, module number 4, is concerned with consciousness and the divine, which is basically the knowledge that's the foundation of BK Jan, soul and supreme soul. We have not decided not to put certain information and to put certain information. And this particular slideshow you may find quite useful when you're introducing people for the purpose of teaching them the Sunday course. So this particular one has a double purpose, partly for the value education course, and also is a very good introduction if you want to bring people into the center like that. So this is a study in raising your level of consciousness. So the question of higher consciousness is important because higher consciousness promotes ethics. So the lower consciousness would be the pre-consciousness, and the higher the consciousness is, the more soul conscious and God conscious. Somebody's mobile is on. So the psychologists have observed that meditation and spiritual practice allow a person to enter a higher plane of consciousness. And these practices is exactly what helps you to develop your moral and ethical sense so that you live completely from your moral and spiritual values. Now the problem is that entering higher consciousness is upsetting. Because as we found yesterday, truth is something that people really don't like. And so entering a higher consciousness takes courage because you have to face very negative things. And not negative things outside, negative things inside. So transpersonal psychologists observe that those who consciously choose to remain open to inner experience usually practice meditation so that they can move beyond normal physical time and space to a transcendent state of consciousness. And it does require mental courage because such experiences bring a person face to face with their conscience and the dark side of their nature, which is unpleasant. Now, people who practice and bring themselves into a higher consciousness is an indication that they do have mental stability and mental strength. So this is considered a big plus point. Anyone who has an ability to pass through transcendent states of consciousness are stable and strong. Because the experiences may be pleasant or unpleasant, depending on your detachment and courage. For example, you may experience leaving the body, and that may make you afraid. Right? You may experience, I remember when I was very young in Jan, Baba took me completely out of the universe, to a stage where you are 100% alone. Like, for example, if you have the destruction and all the people die but not you, you're left behind. All the souls gone back to Paramdham and not you. How do you feel? You see? So this kind of feeling of being left behind or alone is difficult for a lot of people, but it's very necessary for spiritual progress. And so you may have in your BK life many kinds of experiences. One is the inner experience that you are taken away. Another is other kinds of experiences where the other BKs reject you, or the false accusation, or any kinds of tests, you see. And then you're left with yourself. Sometimes even Baba will go away and see, how is my child managing without me? You have experienced this, yeah? And all of these are very necessary to bring you face to face with the reality of your own weakness. Because we have to have the power to face, you see. And so the detachment and courage are important here. So also these experiences make it very clear that the normal experiences of the external world is only one dimension, and that there are non-material dimensions of reality that are just as real, but they're not tangible. And anyone who persists with their inner journey ultimately goes beyond the opposites of pleasant and unpleasant to a serene and dispassionate state of self-acceptance. You have to be able to accept the fact that you're not perfect. You have to accept the fact that basically nobody really cares whether you are there or not there. That may be difficult for a lot of people. See? Because mostly you feel that your existence has some meaning because somebody wants you there. But if nobody cares you're there or you're not there, then that's very difficult, you see. And that is a sign of emotional immaturity. And BK has to face that in order to become a mature BK. So equanimity in the face of positive and negative inner experiences give you the power to retain your values and follow the voice of conscience. And if you don't have that equanimity, then you will compromise your values and you will adopt a corrupt response to stress. This is something that BKs experience a lot. A corrupt response to stress. A lot of people, when they're talking about stress management, tell you different ways to be free from stress. I would never do that. I would tell you honestly that there's going to be every day more and more stress, and it will be more and more difficult, and you will definitely be forced to adopt a corrupt response. And then I'd make you face that. Corrupt response to stress is to get angry, or to get upset, or to go away, sulk, cry, lie, pretend. All of these things, these are all corrupt responses to stress. You see? And most people do it most of the time. And that's why our spiritual progress is not moving as fast as we would like. And usually people think that, well, it's somebody else's fault. Or they think that this particular scene in drama is not really happening. Yeah. And we'll wait for a few minutes and then we'll start our television again. This is just some mistake. It's not really there. And so there's a tendency to avoid dealing with it. But the whole purpose of this course is to stop you from actually thinking that the corrupt response to stress is okay. So our reference for ethics is spiritual. We saw yesterday how science, materialism, etc. is a deluded belief, and science itself is non-ethical. So the perception of the beauty, value, and sanctity of life is the spiritual foundation of religion and the reference for formulating teachings on ethics and values. The scientific worldview gives importance to sensory data, rational thinking, and material values like money, property, status, etc. And it is considered non-ethical because of an inability to prove or perceive the human soul. Now, the problem in BKs at this time is materialism. You think I'm a BK, that's a physical identification. You think I belong to so-and-so's center. That's physical. I see. And so this materialism is no different from the logic. So I think the danger is that in the alogic world, because it's big, we're making it logic. And so we need to think about how easy it is for the alogic to become logic. And for us to be careless as a result of that. Baba has been giving us many, many warnings, and Maya has been listening to the Muralis very carefully to understand how to deceive the BKs, and is quite successful. And so we need to be very aware so that that doesn't succeed. Here is Albert Einstein, and he is an interesting example. Though he's a scientist, he's quite spiritual in his beliefs and so on. And the experience he had in life is actually very similar to the experience of a BK, because what he was doing was different. And what we are doing is different. And you're the only BK in Hyderabad, it's different. But when there's 100 BKs, then it's not different anymore, because you have enough people. And so the whole business of being different doesn't arise, because there's so many other BKs around. Anyway, when he was preparing his special theory on relativity, you know, they threw him out of school, they didn't let him have a job. He had to be in a library Eventually, he had to leave his country and adopt a different nationality because he was so badly treated by the German government because he was different. And so he had to really focus on the truth of what he was doing and disregard concerns about being socially acceptable, whether by the society or by the universities or the scientific community or anything, because what he was saying is true, but it was different. And what he found is that the human body is only able to perceive very ordinary reality, not at all able to perceive even the physical universe beyond ordinary everyday reality. And so he saw from a scientific point of view the limitation of the five senses. We see from a spiritual point of view the limitation of the five senses. So he said, bearing this in mind, we have to recognize that our physical senses are only instruments for the soul to perceive day-to-day reality. And we need to be very aware of other dimensions of reality that are outside the range of our unaided and untrained perception. So our meditation practice is the aided and trained perception. So the soul. And these sentences come directly from one of Baba's Muni. Although some spiritually inclined people have had visions of the soul, visions do not explain it. The soul is truly a star. There are as many souls as there are human beings. The human body is visible, but the soul can be seen only with divine vision. People have different faces, but the souls are all the same, a point of light. The role of every soul is different. Human beings are large or small, whereas souls are all the same size. A soul is eternal and imperishable. At death, a soul sheds an old body and takes a new one. It does not merge with anything. So people do not know the difference between souls and the Supreme Soul. So the problem is lack of knowledge. They have a lot of knowledge, but they don't have full knowledge. They say, all are brothers, and so they should live like brothers. In today's world, 1 minute they are living together in harmony, and the next moment they are violent towards each other because they do not know about spiritual relationships. So one of you was asking me about karmic accounts just now, and how do we know whether an account is getting finished or it's getting created? And if you know about spiritual relationships, when a karmic account comes up, you will not allow that to provoke you into becoming violent, just like that. So in our relationships with each other, whenever a karmic account comes up for settlement, there is an incident of violence in between BKs. It could be Ankh Tikana, it could be Dant Karna, whatever it is, but it's violence. And whenever anything like that happens, then you simply understand a karmic account payment is occurring. Just that. A karmic account payment is occurring, and then at that time you have to be detached, tolerant, and wait until it's passed. and it will hurt, and you will pay, and okay. But you will not become violent. It means you do not allow yourself to become violent. Because, you come and sit up in the front. Then you will hear more easily. It happens among us that we either we do it or somebody does it to us. Dant karna, ankti karna, comment, could be anything. And you just know the account is in process of getting paid. Your payment is coming up. Your bill, your phone bill has come. At that time, you become detached, tolerant. It will hurt. It will disturb. You will survive it. And you have your ethical policy that I will not change my behavior of love and regard no matter what somebody is doing. In that way, the karmic account is paid. And every day, the whole confluence age, one of the main purposes of the confluence age is to settle the karmic accounts through yoga. You have three possibilities. It can be through yoga. It can be through acute mental, physical, financial, social, and other suffering. It can be through Dharmaraj Puri. Take your choice. Nobody minds. And it's very, very important to know that nobody cares whether you're in pain or not, whether you pay in Dharmaraj Puri or not, whether you pay through physical problems or whether you pay through yoga. It is absolutely your personal choice and nobody is interested. Once you understand that, you become a mature BK. Because as long as you think that it matters to somebody, you remain a child, you remain dependent. So I think what we have to do now is find many ways to make ourselves into mature BKs. And mature BKs, very important that whatever anybody does that's upsetting, unreasonable, injustice, lying, cheating, stealing, whatever it is, the way we interpret it, that a karmic account is here for settlement. And I have three choices. I settle it with yoga. I think it's now you have not improved the sound. It seems very loud to me. I don't know where the sound is coming from. You can't hear very well? So you don't sit in the back, you sit in the front. Everybody can sit in the front. We have six people here, and you can all fit in the front. There's no reason to sit in the back. You come up here. Or you can sit on brother's side if you want. It's all empty. And no need to sit in the back. Ow, ow, my dark snake, Harumbi. Now you can hear better, huh? Yeah. So, this is the purpose of the confluence age. And Baba has given us the 8 powers for a reason. That you have to tolerate. And the power of tolerance means they will burn you hard, painfully, and you will manage it. That's tolerance, I see. And when you experience pain, the normal reaction of a normal human being is you resist. Huh? You know, like that. You tighten up. And you think that this is bad, it should stop, we don't want it, we don't like it, and we are against it. I see. Spirituality, we would not do that. You have to, instead of the reaction of closing up and resisting, you have to open up. And allow. This is called the power of accommodation. Yeah? This is samaniki shakti. Yeah? So you open yourself up, you allow the force of the pain to move through you, like a wave goes through water, and you allow it to happen. It doesn't make you do something negative. It tries to. Power means you allow that thing to go through, and after it's passed through, you are the same. Sometimes Baba speaks about a line through water, right? Pani me lakir, something like that. And so you have to be like this, you see. And you have to be strong. If you are weak, you can't do that. Ordinary person cannot do that. Yogi can do that only, you see. And when the pain comes and it comes in, and you have to just open to it and relax in front of it and allow it to hurt you with no resistance. Then only your karmic account is finished. That takes a lot of power. But this is what Baba is asking us to do. So if somebody is doing anything, whatever it is, and you respond in this way, then after that moment in drama is past, everything remains the same. But your account is less. I see. As much as we resist, that much the pain has to go back and find another occasion and come back more strongly. And as much as we react, we are increasing the karmic account and or creating a new karmic account with that person, you see. And so when Baba says to us, nimit, you can even take it in that way, nimit, to finish the pain. Or that person is nimit for you to get the pain that you have to finish. And then your drishti to that person remains the same. And Baba has told us, the people who insult you are your friends. Right? And so when somebody is insulting you, how much time does it take for you to experience the acceptance that my friend is doing something valuable and beneficial for me? Can you do it in 1 second? Because this is the exam of 1 second. 1 second is, you know, long enough for you to recognize, okay, this is a karmic account, this person is instrumental, the pain is coming in this particular way, and what I'm supposed to do is accept the thing, allow it to pass through me and disappear, and tolerate, and at the end of that particular experience, continue as if nothing has happened. Can you pass the exam of 1 second? You understand? So this is what we have to do. Now we can have traffic control. So the work that we have to do, silently, secretly, internally, is to consider the self to be a soul. And we have to avoid getting trapped in false ego, which is also called body consciousness. So the main obstacle we have in developing and cultivating human values, spiritual values, is that globally we live in a materialist culture. So even take this idea within our BK context, where does materialism enter? Status, power, influence, money, territory, different kinds of equipment, quality of house, quality, quantity of vehicles, all this kind of thing. And so Maya comes in the form of attraction, and also in the form of something which makes us afraid. I see. Because our weakness is we get attracted by nice, beautiful things, and we like to look good. That's body consciousness. I want to look good. And then you see somebody can give you a hard time. Somebody can be harsh to you, angry, violent, oppressive, arrogant. And whenever you see somebody like that, you know, you kind of melt, you see. So that is not Swaman. So what Baba has given us is three meh sab kuch hu means attraction, meh kuch nahi hu means somebody has put me down, you know, and meh atma hu. Jo bhi is meh kya, you know. So this very nice mantra that Baba gave in the last Murli, kya bari baat hai bab dada saate. We use that. Because many things will be very bari baat. When you say kya bari baat bab dada saate, and immediately your consciousness is with Baba. You become the detached observer, use the tolerance power, the accommodation power, the facing power, whatever is necessary for however long it's necessary. And then when that test is passed, it's as if nothing happened. There's no scar on you. There's nothing in your chit. Otherwise you remember, oh, ye kaha, patai, kya kaha, kya kiya. You see, you remember it, and you creating a new account. And then it's going to come back again to take your test again, and worse. So, most individuals are strongly habituated to body consciousness and the realities that you experience through sense perception. So among BKs, when any BK does anything, or you experience anything of anyone through the sense organs, the reality experience through sense perception. And you didn't see the drama. Drama means kill. Kill. You have to really get that. To kill. Calvary Barclay. And then you see, yeah, okay, this is a soul that has a part. I don't care if you have a good part or a bad part. Not my problem. I see. And you have to realize also, nobody cares if I have a good part or a bad part. It's between me and my future. Me and Papa. Nothing else matters. So, are you a soul or are you a body? Because either you are aware of yourself as a soul, or you are aware of yourself as a body. So true consciousness, swaman, satya abhiman, is when you say, I am the soul and this is my body. Om Shanti, you know. And false consciousness, jyoti abhiman, when you say, I am my body. You say, pata nahi hai, main kaun hoon? That's body consciousness. My center in charge whom, falani who, but this is all body consciousness. Because the soul is not its body. So in true consciousness, the positive qualities and values fuel your thoughts. Means if you have a waste thought, it means you're body conscious. And the waste thought will make you more body conscious. That's all. Not more, not less. If you are soul conscious, the proof is that your thoughts are based in purity, peace, power, love and bliss. Those five things. So in false consciousness, negative qualities and anti-values fuel your thoughts and also your passions. Passions are the strong feelings. So our whole work is to change our consciousness. And change, first of all, takes place at the level of ideas. So we know all the ideas. But then, these have to be integrated into the thought processes. So the proof of soul consciousness is we immediately identify a waste thought in a second and stop it. Whether it's justified or not, doesn't matter, we stop it. Because the aim is this, when a waste thought comes, stop it. That's the aim. We have to understand that. And then this then ultimately creates a value-based, spiritually oriented culture. Where universal and human values occupy a natural ascendancy over material values. All the levels of values will be there. Universal, human, material, and no. You have an exam of 1 second. Put yourself with the universal values. That's the game. Whatever's going on, use the second and place yourself there. That's called you're scoring a winning point. It's okay. Souls are intelligent. Unlike matter, souls are conscient and therefore intelligent. They can absorb not only energy but also ideas. And powers, spiritual values, and qualities. A soul is incorporeal, indivisible, and indestructible. During its cycle, it declines from a state of perfect purity to a depleted and impure condition due to the quality of action performed and the degenerating effect of time. And you know this. We have to use it during the exam. Well, what is happening? Degenerating effect of time. Okay, TK, shall we about? I see. Immediately to adjust your thinking within the second. It neither evolves nor degrades. God is the source of all qualities, virtues, values, and wisdom. And these treasures are transferred to souls through meditation. Souls are then restored to full self-awareness and the perfection of their original purity. And this transference of power, purity, values, and qualities, this is the creation, or the recreation of souls. Occupies no space in the physical body because it is not physical, but it animates the body and operates it via the brain and the nervous system. The soul also receives signals from the body, so it is a symbiotic relationship. You know this word symbiotic? Symbiotic. So usually you have seen buffaloes with a crow on top of a buffalo, and the crow is eating the bugs on the buffalo. So that's a symbiotic relationship. Each one is necessary for the other. So the soul is necessary for the body, and the body is necessary for the soul. Right? So the energy of communication between the two is the power of thought. And it is analogous to the energy of electricity, and this energy is consciously heightened through meditation. So we have a chart here, the contrast between the soul and the body. So the soul is a being, the body is a thing. The soul is immortal, the body is mortal. The soul is self-aware, the body is unaware. The soul is eternal, the body is temporary. One is invisible, the other is visible. The soul has no beginning and no end, and the body begins and ends in time. The soul is accountable, the body is not accountable. So when someone is in body consciousness, if they make a mistake, they will deny it. If the body is not accountable, so body conscious people never feel accountable. So if anybody says, no, I didn't do it, you just simply know, acha, okay, body conscious, TK, koi body baat nahi hai. Let's make up. I know. But if you are also body conscious, you want them to accept their mistake. If you are soul conscious, you don't mind whether they accept it or not. Doesn't make any difference to anything. What difference does it make? Nothing. The soul animates the body. The body is the vehicle of the soul. The soul is me. The body is mine. So you're familiar with this picture. The body plus the soul equals the living human being. So you see the body, the skeleton, with the sense organs of sight, smell, hearing, touch, and taste for material perception. and then the mind, intellect, and samskaras. So you can see the symbol, this lightning is for the energy, and the heart is for these different feelings, and this music is for different kind of experiences. In the intellect, you have the light bulb for understanding. You have this which is for focus, and this which is the no entry sign, as a knot. And then the samskaras, you have a footprint here, and you have these shadows and these other different symbols which represent somebody's family, you know. And so the soul has these organs of consciousness for perception of ideas, memories, feelings, morality, tendencies, and values. And that whole combination makes you a human being. So the mind is the power to create thought. And thinking is an act of the soul. It may be desires, emotions, unspoken words, or pictures on the inner screen. The mind is fed through the sense organs of touch, sight, hearing, smell, and taste. And mental stimuli also arise from the subconscious, which includes samskaras, memories, instincts, and habits. The soul's mind is constantly active, creating thoughts. And the nature of the soul is to think. And there are four kinds of thoughts: positive, negative, waste, and practical. The intellect. See this picture you've got on the top, you have the status symbols. And on the bottom, you have the spiritual values. And so the more a person is body conscious, the more they're going up in this direction of what's important. And the most important these days is your, what kind of car you have. And this is your educational qualifications, and your achievements, and your how you impress other human beings. And it goes gradually down to the point of light of the soul. So the buddhi, the intellect, the buddhi or the intellect, is the faculty of the soul which judges thought and determines its quality, ethical purity, appropriateness, and degree of accuracy. So the intellect is the conscience. And through it you decide whether or not to perform an action. If the thought is positive, the intellect supports it, and you perform the action. So a strong, pure intellect identifies and removes any negative thoughts and waste thoughts also, just as you discard a rotten apple from a fruit bowl. So this is your exam of 1 second. See which is bad, take it out. If the intellect is weak and the mind is impure or fragmented, the energy of the soul generates many waste and negative thoughts. And the weak intellect is powerless to restrain or prevent them from coming into action. Then there is inner conflict, and the intellect ultimately loses. So negative or unproductive actions are performed which are against your conscience, and you reinforce your negative samskaras. You also create new karmic accounts. So the characteristics of consciousness, you have your mind, intellect, and samskaras. And your mind has to do with types of thought, your intellect has to do with areas of evaluation, and your samskaras are your personality traits. So in your mind you have the emotions, feelings, desires, reactions, creativity, and inner vision. And in the intellect is where you have your ethics, your logic, your discernment, your discrimination, analysis, and selectivity. And then the samskaras is your character, habits, talents, subconscious memories and instincts. So this picture of the soul you're probably quite familiar with, the cyclic processes within the soul. So you have your mind, all this going around, the mind, intellect, samskaras, the soul through thought comes into words and actions, and you have expressions of your emotions, desires and decisions, and then observations are imprinted in the soul conscious memory bank. So you have your inner world up at the top side of the line and the external world below. So there is an inner cycle and a cycle that links the internal with the external material world. And the arrows indicate the flow of the soul's energy as it moves instantaneously from one faculty to the next in the inner cycle and translates into action via the body and then returns to the inner cycle as an impression or samskara. Although it is an endless and unstoppable cycle, for the purpose of analysis, we can observe the following. A thought arises in the mind and has the potential to come into action. So first the thought passes before the buddhi, which in intellect we say is the intellect, the conscience, or the moral consciousness. And then it's judged and either accepted or not accepted. But a weak intellect cannot do this. If it is accepted, it becomes expressed. If it's not accepted, it simply disappears or stops. So this is our exam. You check, you do it, or you don't do it, and if not, then dot, disappears. This is power. Any act has an effect, and there are consequences and repercussions. So the act forms a samskara, it provokes a new similar action, it provokes a response from the external world, and it forms an imprint upon the soul. The impact and memory of thoughts, words, and actions are stored in the deep memory track of citta. A new thought arises in the mind and the cycle of thoughts, words and actions resumes. So the question to ask oneself always is, can you feel whether you are soul or body? The intellect regulates your state of awareness. And you may exist in varying degrees of either of two possible states of awareness. So do you identify with the soul or do you identify with the body? In a state of peace, purity and self-awareness and power, you are naturally conscious of yourself as a soul. But most people today, however, are spiritually depleted and conscious of the self as physical, so they identify with the body. Identification with the body may be conscious or unconscious, but identification with the soul is conscious. In meditation, you affirm your identity as a soul, and it leads you to the inner experience of being essentially pure and positive, and you act in an awakened state of self-awareness. So this is an awareness timer switch. You may not have seen this before. So your consciousness is awake and aware if you are switched on, and the bulb of your intellect is sharp and bright. So you can see this is on, this is off. But your awareness gets drawn towards body consciousness and the light of the intellect gets dimmer and at last switches off. And this is total body consciousness. You see these little feet represent this slowly you go back to body consciousness. And then the on position is total soul consciousness. And your spiritual effort is to stay switched on. So you have to keep the light of awareness on. So when you think about it, the switch turns on. And as you forget about it, you lose awareness of yourself as a soul. So you have to keep on creating the thoughts necessary to remain switched on. Understand? So some aspects of the consciousness of body and soul consciousness. So consciousness of the self as a soul means your virtues are dominant, but when you're body conscious, anti-values are dominant. As a soul, you are a detached observer, otherwise you are caught up in what's happening. The soul is introspective, respective, peaceful, pure, able to forgive and forget, regularly practices rigorous self-analysis and ready to apologize for mistakes. In body consciousness, you're egocentric, arrogant, restless, influenced, resentful. You deny personal responsibility and you will never accept your mistakes and never apologize. Summary of what we just saw is that our values are demonstrated by our actions, and the actions begin as thoughts, feelings, and emotions. And this presentation is for establishing a link between the state of human consciousness or self-awareness and the decline or rise in human values. So the aim of meditation and spiritual study is to be able to live with others harmoniously with love and respect. So in our centers, there's millions of things to try to stop this. Because we have to resist those things and achieve the stage of harmonious coexistence. This is the aim. At any cost. And so we have to remember this. If we forget, then we can easily get tempted or afraid or something or another, you see. And as your meditation progresses, your conscience becomes more refined, and then your standards of morality and ethics rise. Om Shanti.